host Super Saturday Spectacular here at Center Circle Live. I bet you can't say that five times fast. Marty Thompson here sitting in for Kurt Larson, joined by CanPL.ca's Armin Badakian and Oliver Platt. Quickly, guys, what do we think of Saturday? Three CPL matches in a row.
That was super. It was super, super Saturday. It was a long, long day of soccer action in Canada, all across the country. We saw three matches, all of which ended 2-1. And plenty of goals, plenty of excitement, plenty of drama. What do you think about the first Super Saturday in CPL action, Ollie?
It was spectacular. It was a lot of soccer to take in, a lot of different storylines to digest. And shout out to the One Soccer team who had a pretty long day taking in all three of those matches. But yeah, it was great stuff. It was really enjoyable.
We're going to get to Super Saturday here in a moment, but we'll also have Center Circle Live's first edition of the Power Rankings. So break those down for you and much, much more. Let's start with the first game on Saturday. Halifax Wanderers 2, Forge FC 1. A spectacular opening to Wanderers grounds.
Yes, very spectacular.
That's the word of the day.
That's the word of the day. Yeah, it was a fun game. It was exactly, I think, what we were expecting to see. Everyone was, you know, building up this party in Halifax. The president, Derek Martin, said that they'd long sold out that match. So I think they lived up to the billing. They definitely delivered the sort of atmosphere that we were expecting. But also, how cool is that stadium? There's, you know,
so cool.
There's incredible, like, nautical theme kind of thing going on. I don't know. Like, we saw some boat lights. We saw some like shipping crates. It was a really charming little stadium and jam-packed with something like 6,200 supporters, all of whom look the part of you know, soccer supporters. There's no precedent for this. There's no professional sports teams in the area except for the Wanderers, and it seems like that city has really embraced soccer. What we saw from the 90 minutes on the field really reflected that as well.
Akeem Garcia with the first goal in club history. Luis Alberto Perea with the winner. Ollie, what did you make of Halifax Wanderers getting that first win?
They've been good. They've been, I think, for some people, surprisingly good. I think they obviously got a little stroke of luck on the first goal, the way it fell to Garcia, and then they benefit from a pretty bad error from Bertrand Awandi that leads to Luis Perea's goal. But
I don't know if that was a stroke of luck. That, to me, is like a wily 32-year-old Colombian who knows exactly where he needs to be to slot home a goal.
I think Awandi is going to want that one back. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but
Perea was very good, and he looks like a guy who could be a difference maker for them. You know, if they have someone who can put the ball in the back of the net on a regular basis, that's going to patch over a lot of the kind of work-in-progress aspects of the Halifax team. And yeah, he looks very promising.
Looking ahead, we're going to get to Forge later in the Power Rankings, but they've got a big week hosting Pacific and then hosting Cavalry as well on Sunday, that first match against Pacific on Wednesday. And the Wanderers, they're going to head out to Winnipeg to take on Valor on Saturday. So speaking of Cavalry, 2-1 win over York 9 FC to open Spruce Meadows out west. That was the second game on Saturday, and we're going to get on to Cavalry as well later, but what a strong performance.
Yeah, it was the most, I think, dominant 45, if not 90 minutes of soccer that we've seen so far in CPL. It was, I think, what we were sort of expecting, which was Cavalry dominating possession, and York 9 kind of put together a makeshift midfield in the absence of Manny Aparicio. Emilio Estevez, I thought, did well. I thought he came in, did well. It seemed to be a goal that came against the run of play. Ultimately, wasn't enough, but, you know, a couple bounces here, maybe a fortuitous touch there. Maybe York 9 is more into that match. Ultimately, though, under the snow at Spruce Meadows, I don't know if we've ever seen anything quite like that before in Canadian soccer. Ollie, you're from England, where we have a lot of those charming grounds. What did you make of Spruce Meadows?
It was very charming. It was one of those kind of boxy grounds, like a little bit like Selhurst Park where Crystal Palace play, where you have the big roof over the top. You know, the stand is really self-contained and the noise really echoes around it. And yeah, I'd love to get out there and see a match. It looks like a pretty cool place.
And the snow just made that game so special.
Very Canadian.
Imagine being to that. Oh my goodness. And quickly on York 9, not the best result. I mean, if you're Jimmy Brennan, you're in tough. We're going to talk about it in the Power Rankings, but they're in a tough spot right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think if that Cyrus Rolick's kind of scramble in that box goes in, there's a whole different storyline, we can say. But it's been a couple of, you know, tough results. But to be fair, they are playing away from home in home openers in other teams, you know, cities. And ultimately, that's not an easy scenario to be in. So the fact that they haven't gotten a win yet, I don't think it's time to panic. But Ollie, I know that, you know, these early goings, you can never really read too much into them, can you?
No, I think it was a real tale of two halves. You know, I thought in the second half they looked a lot better and it was a pretty even game. First half, as you said, they were missing Aparicio, missing Di Chiara, and the midfield adjustments that they made just didn't work. But once they kind of adjusted after halftime, got Murufushi in there, I thought they looked a lot better. And that game could have been a different story had they kind of hit upon that from the start.
So a bit of time off for York 9 FC. They have the weekend off before getting into Canadian Championship play next week. Cavalry heading into a crucial stretch here. Two games back-to-back. Wednesday, they're hosting Valor, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time on One Soccer. And then they're heading out to Hamilton to take on Forge on Sunday. Speaking of Valor, they were so close to getting that massive win at Investors Group Field in their home opener. Maybe had the best of FC Edmonton, but the Eddies walked away with a 2-1 win.
Yeah, you got to commend Edmonton for that performance. That was a professional away showing. That Definitely. Was really what it was. It's a new Edmonton team, so I don't want to really kind of look back at the history of the club and say that was the reason why. But I think when you have guys in your locker room who have been there, who have sort of, done the grind of an away performance like this, it's got to help in some way, because it looked to me like a professional showing. I mean, Jeff Paulus has made no secret of the fact that he wants to play free-flowing, attacking 4-3-3 football. But what we got, I think, was more of a defensive showing and one that was more, opportunistic. They capitalized on their set pieces. They played the ball safely, not necessarily the most entertaining that they could have possibly been, but, when you're on the road, when you're in a place like Investors Group Field, the only thing you really need is points, and that's exactly what they got.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, Armin. Jeff Paulus, talk before the season was, how are teams going to handle this amount of travel and, the things that come with this league. But, he pointed to his time in the NASL and some of his former players who played for FC Edmonton. They were used to going to Puerto Rico and playing away. Yeah. So, going to Winnipeg doesn't seem that far. Ollie, what did you see from the Eddies? I know Raymond Sori was a highlight. Amir Didic was good, got the assist on that that second goal. What did you see from their performance, maybe particularly defensively?
Yeah, it was a resolute defensive performance. I thought early on they maybe rode their luck a little bit, and Valor certainly had the better of the first half, but they grew into it. And when they did need him, they got a really strong performance out of Connor James in net, who looked like up with Nathan Ingham, one of the more impressive goalkeeping performances so far. So, defensively, a good showing for them. And with Amiobi back hopefully soon, I think they'll grow into it attacking as well.
Do you see Valor as maybe being a little bit hard done by that result, though? I mean,
for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, they looked like they had some good attacking pieces. I thought Dylan Sacramento was pretty good. He didn't look happy coming off.
I didn't like that sub. I thought they faded out of it after he came off. Not only did Sacramento, who'd been really bright, come out of the game, but also it pushed Pedraso to wing back where he wasn't in as dangerous positions. So maybe didn't love the adjustments that they made, but they certainly started well.
To me, that Valor performance had the most, not even clear-cut chances, just the most chances period out of any game we've seen so far. Specifically Sacramento. If he finishes that one that Carrera played him on, or there was another opportunity in the box that in the second half, just before he got taken off, if those goals go in, it's a completely different story. Different story.
Well, that's the game of soccer, though, isn't it? If a ball bounces this way, or if a touch goes that way, it's a whole different story. But we did get a little bit of history from that one, the very first penalty ever drawn and ever scored in the Canadian Premier League. So kudos to Valor for that one.
Yep. Michael Petrasso scoring that one. Valor going to away to Cavalry, as we mentioned earlier. That's going to be a big game on Wednesday. And then they'll host HFX Wanderers on Saturday, as we mentioned also. Three games on Super Saturday, three home openers. I'm going to have a question for you guys. If you were a player and you could play in any one of these games, you've got Wanderers Ground in Halifax, Investors Group Field in Winnipeg was bumping 10,000 fans there, and you've got such an incredible place in Spruce Meadows, as Ollie already mentioned, such a unique ground. Where would you want to play your first ever professional game?
That's a good question.
Tough question. Yeah. I want to go to Spruce Meadows. The snow is making me hesitate a little bit.
Hesitate?
It looked cold. I don't know if I'd enjoy that, but I think I'd have to say Spruce Meadows.
Well, get him a pair of gloves and the orange ball. He'll be fine. Nah, for me, it's got to be the Wanderers. And honestly, if I'm the Wanderers supporters, I really lean into that nautical theme and just go all in on it. because it's just, it's charming, man. It's a cool environment. You know, it looked like a fun party. We had a couple of the league staff for that one, traveling to that one. So they all came back with, you know, smiles on their faces and one word to describe it: wet. It's just, I guess, a damp, misty sort of day. But I think that adds to that, like, kind of Halifax, you know, Atlantic region charm. And I don't know. I think it would be really cool to be a player and take part in your first ever win surrounded by 6,200 fans who just look like they adore you.
As much as Investors Group Field looked amazing, I'm going to have to go with Ollie on this one. Not for the same reason, though, because if I could say I played my first ever professional game in the Canadian Premier League and it snowed, like, playing in that game to me would have just been the funnest thing.
Yeah, that was an iconic little moment.
Yeah, it could. You know, when we look back at the end of the season on this league, that could be, like, one of the best moments to me.
That being said, if I had to put on my supporter's hat just for a moment, I was really brought back to my earlier days, you know, kind of going to BMO Field when Toronto FC was just kind of starting. And I saw a lot of that at Valor FC. I saw not just the VFC fan chants, which were, you know, eerily reminiscent, but there's that kind of raw, organic supporter feel. And I think Winnipeg's really brought it. It was 10,000 fans, yes, but it was also 10,000 supporters. You could really tell that they were invested. And that's not to take anything away from, you know, the fans at HFX and at Spruce Meadows, both of whom, you know, were just as loud, just as raucous. But I don't know. There's something about soccer coming back to a place in Manitoba where there's so much history, and even that stadium, you know, it's just one of those, like, it's the bigger grounds anyway. So it really felt like, to me, those early days of building soccer in this country. And I don't know. There's just something about it that struck me as, this is a cool place to be.
I think we've seen with TFC as well, like, there's nights where the crowd isn't that big and it's a little quiet in there, and you know, it's not the greatest experience, but then you get to those big games in the big stadiums where you can get 20,000, 30,000 fans in there, and that's going to be, you know, when that finally happens in a place like Winnipeg or in Hamilton, that's going to be, you know, it's already happened in Hamilton. It's a special thing to see, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's up to Valor now to make sure that they get into the CPL Championship and, you know, pack that stadium.
For sure,
you know,
yeah.
They will. Yeah.
Now that we're kind of in the midst of the season, every team is now played, we're six matches in, I think it's time to maybe take a step back and think about where we were maybe a month ago, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, where, you know, people were looking at us to say, who's going to be good? What players are going to be good? Who am I looking out for? And we're kind of sitting here saying, you know, we know the players we've seen and we know the levels that we've seen, but, you know, I haven't played a game yet.
Yep.
So now that all of these teams have played a game, my question to you guys is, you know, what are some misconceptions you had? Some things that you didn't expect to see that you've seen now in the Canadian Premier League?
That's a good question, Marty. The thing that I was expecting to see was the same thing that I was expecting to see when Toronto FC first started, which was the quality of passing. I think that's a good way of judging the product that you have on the field. And I remember those early days of TSC, they couldn't get 3 or 4 passes together at times. That's not a knock. I mean, that was just the general level of the play at the time. But I've been genuinely surprised with not just the quality of the passing and the movement and the way that teams are connecting, especially this early on, but also just the desire to play entertaining, clean, like, football. I mean, it's been just entertaining across the board, really, and that's a credit to the team's willingness and desire to put on a product that's, you know, that they're proud of. It would be very easy for teams to say, well, you know, I got 10 games in the spring, so I'm just going to bunker down and take as many points as I can. And that is the case for some teams like Edmonton who go into this, you know, into Valor, and they're like, whatever, we're just going to try to put on our defensive showing. But even in that defensive stoutness, there's still, like, this level of entertainment that I wasn't necessarily expecting to see so early. I thought it was going to take a little bit more time for teams to grow into themselves, and that's not what we've seen so far, is it?
What are some teams that sticked out to you for being impressive in passing?
I was really you know, impressed with the way Valor connected in midfield. I thought that, you know, what we saw from Valor in preseason wasn't quite as sharp as what we're seeing from them in regular season play. I was also, you know, I know York 9 didn't really get a result, but I think that once they start to connect well, once Manny Aparicio is back, there's a lot of pieces in that team that can, you know, do a lot of damage. So, and then of course, Cavalry putting in a dominant performance. So between those three teams, and then really across the board, what I saw was the kind of football that, you know, Canadians can be proud of. And ultimately that's what matters.
Yeah, I'd echo that for sure. And I think beyond the entertainment value, the importance of that is that that's the way we want to develop players. You know, mm-hmm. that's the way we want to develop national team players, is to be comfortable on the ball, to be able to play through midfield and to build up in that way. And I think, you know, if the coaches are really committed to that passing style of play, that's naturally going to mean that those types of technical players are going to be the ones that they're selecting, and they're going to be the ones that are progressing into their lineups. And that's a really good thing for the national team program.
Well, and it was like going into the season too, there's obviously the storyline of developing your number 10s, developing your players that mm-hmm. that play up the middle, like the Tristan Borges, Manny Aparicio's, right?
Verhoeven, I mean, is another one. Yeah,
Verhoeven for sure, getting those minutes.
Yep.
Ollie, what has impressed you, or what did you maybe not expect to see or from the CPL so far?
I think I can safely say this now without anyone kind of falling into this category, but when you have a new league like this, you kind of expect that there's going to be one or two teams that really struggle early on and just don't look good and maybe get their initial plan wrong. And that hasn't really happened with any of the teams so far. Like, we're going to get onto our power rankings, and, you know, the two teams that we have in the two bottom places right now, you wouldn't put it past them to run up the table and to be spring champions. So I think the fact that all of these teams have been built from scratch and all of them look as organized and competent as they have done has been a really nice surprise. There's been no one who's kind of, you're just looking at and thinking, okay, they need to start from scratch again, and they've got it wrong. They've all been, you know, impressive in their own ways.
Yeah, there's definitely been a level of parity in this league that's for been sure. very entertaining. What about you, Marty? What have you seen?
Well, I did not expect Forge FC to only have 1 point through their first two games, you know, kind of preseason odds on favorites. And, you know, again, a kind of a rough start to the season, although two very difficult games, especially going away to Halifax, as we mentioned already. Let's get into the power rankings.
Yeah, Forge, let's get into it.
Near the bottom of that. So we're looking at seventh and sixth here. We have York. York 9 at the very bottom, and then Forge at 6th. First off, you know, these two teams, they're very good. They're very talented. As we mentioned, lots of parity in this league, but maybe just a little unfortunate to be at the bottom this time.
Yeah, the bottom ranking was the, I guess, end result of our process, which is, I guess I can give a little bit of an inside look here. We're polling about a dozen members of CPL Editorial from across the country, and they're giving us their take on their 1 through 7 power rankings. We're taking those numbers, we're assigning points to every team where they sit, and then we end up with a finalized table. So in this iteration, the first of many iterations to come, we have York 9 sitting at the bottom. And ultimately, you know, it's the result of maybe a tough start to the season. They're on the road for a significant spell of their opening stanza. And I mean, I think it's a little harsh, to be honest. I also think Forge sitting at 6th, I don't see them sitting there for too long. It's just one of those things where maybe some early results went, you know, against them. And as Steven Sander wrote in his piece for canpl.ca, in a spring season where there's so few matches to make up those 6 points, you really have to kind of capitalize. So I think it's a little harsh, but we'll see what happens with them.
Yeah, Forge is too low for me. I think obviously results haven't gone their way, but you know, when you look at the balance of the two games they've played, okay, they weren't as good as they would like to have been in Halifax, but certainly the first game against York, they dominated after falling behind. And, you know, to me, this is the team that could quite easily have 4 points and be leading the league table right now. So I think they're too low. I think they've got a great opportunity with two home games this week to start rising up both the league table and our power rankings.
So heading up the power rankings, coming in 5th, Halifax Wanderers, 4th, FC Edmonton, and Pacific coming in at 3rd. All three of these teams with a win through this part of the CPL season. Let's start with the Wanderers. I mean, again, they look strong on the weekend, but here they are at 5th.
Yeah, it was an interesting one because there was a little bit of disparity in the points total at the very end. But HFX, I believe, was only 1 point behind FC Edmonton after our dozen or so writers submitted their take. And I think 5th is a good spot for them. They're coming off of a win and a loss, so it's kind of even goings for them right now. But I think the reintroduction of Luis Alberto Perea to their starting lineup is going to change Halifax's fortunes just a little bit. I think he was the missing piece for them from that first game. And I think if they have a guy like Perea up top against Pacific, they have a better shot at actually taking points, or at least a point, out of West Hill Stadium. As for FC Edmonton, I think mid-table is probably good for them. They're currently, I believe, top of our actual standings, but that's just because there's 3 points across the board. And then Pacific FC 3rd. I don't know how long they'll be there. I think Marcus Haber, you know, is starting to get in form. He's starting to hit that upswing, and if he can start banging in those goals and not necessarily banging against the post, maybe we'll be talking one or two for Pacific.
Well, and that's the thing with Pacific is two decent performances. You know, in that loss against Valor, they were fine, lots of chances. But you know, I think third's fair, right?
Yeah, missing their two starting centre backs in that loss as well. But one thing I'd say, I think with all three of these teams, Halifax, Edmonton, and Pacific, I think the common thread that runs through them is they're going to live or die by their number nines. You know, we saw the difference that Perea made on Saturday in Halifax. Marcus Haber, as you said, has not gone in yet, but he's certainly getting the chances. And then Amiobi is still to come back in Edmonton and could make a big difference there. So I think these are three teams that have a good foundation, a good base. They've shown they can defend competently. How many goals are their strikers going to score, I think, is going to decide their season.
Yeah, and ultimately, we haven't really seen enough of Edmonton to really make a good, informed decision yet. From what we've seen, there's certainly a lot of promise. But you got to imagine once Tomi Amiobi's back in the mix, once they're in home at Clark Stadium, we haven't seen a match there yet, we might see a completely different team from Jeff Paulus, or at least a very different showing from Jeff Paulus's team. Maybe some of that fast-flowing attacking football that he's promised, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how dominant this team can be. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that an El Clasico fixture between Edmonton and Cavalry sometime in the summer is going to be anything but an exciting match. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
And speaking of Cavalry, so coming in at number one, Cavalry FC after that 2-1 win on the weekend against York, and Valor coming in at number two. Let's talk about Valor first, though. Similar to Pacific, Ollie, two, you know, very impressive performances. Probably unlucky not to win on the weekend against Edmonton, but here they are at number two. Probably fair, right?
I think it's about right. I think they're definitely top two based on what we've seen so far. You know, for me, they've looked like the most complete team front to back. I think when you go through Jordan Morrell and Skylar Thomas in defense.
Thomas handled the ball so well. I mean, he was so good. And especially, like you say, Armin, you mentioned this after the match. Like, he was kind of playing like right wing back.
Yeah, he was
while.
Pushing up really, really, really deep. It was interesting to see how that three-man back line sort of became a one-man back line with like Ari Guarena and Thomas pushing up. But yeah, no, I was really impressed with the way that, like you said, Ollie, how complete that team looks. And, you know, top to bottom, even guys like Golobar, Stephen Hoyle, they're a very interesting team.
They're spoiled for choice in midfield, you know, with Sacramento, Carrera have been bright in the first couple of games. And then Hoyle looks like he can get goals if he's given the chances up front.
And then Louis Belangoye, I mean, he's controlling, turning, and passing in one fell motion, the way that, you know, top-level MLS players are capable of doing so. So, I mean, I think they've got a lot of interesting pieces. If I remember correctly, though, you picked Valor as your top choice.
I did. They were my number one, yeah.
And otherwise, a unanimous decision for Cavalry at number one.
Really? So interesting.
Going against the grain on that one.
Well, Cavalry, as you mentioned, top of the first ever CPL Power Rankings. Maybe let's start with Ollie. So why didn't you pick Cavalry first?
I had him down in third. Even I had Forge up in second, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, but I think it's just early with Cavalry. You know, as I said earlier on, I think York 9 struggled in that first half at Spruce Meadows and, you know, didn't really have the right mix in midfield with the players they were missing. And I just want to see Cavalry do it again against another team, you know, a different team before I'm really sold on them. But the early signs were promising for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I think some of the early impressions from Marty and I came from like the preseason in Dominican where Cavalry looked like this. Like this, we didn't see anything particularly new from Cavalry because this is what we saw in Punta Cana. And so maybe it's an early advantage for Cavalry. Maybe this is, you know, an upswing in form early on, and where in a 10-game sprint for the spring championship crown, this could really prove to be a huge advantage for Tommy Wheeling Jr.'s team.
They have a real run of home games to start off, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So it could absolutely could be theirs to lose, you know, four or five games in. They could be looking pretty strong.
Two matches on Wednesday in the CPL. Forge welcoming Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time on One Soccer, and then Cavalry welcoming Valor, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. local time there. Two very intriguing matches, Armin.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing Forge return to Tim Hortons Field, maybe try to get back on the right foot and, you know, really make a run at this spring title. As for that Cavalry-Valor game, Ollie, I know you were saying earlier that you're really looking forward to seeing Cavalry again. What are you sort of hoping to see out of this team against a tough Valor team?
Well, this will be another big test for them for sure. You know, as I said, I really like this Valor team, and you know, defensively they're sound, and they've got plenty of threats throughout the side. So, you know, this will be a definite test for Cavalry, and we'll start to see what they're made of.
We saw a lot of teams change up some of their player personnel. Do you see Cavalry making any changes to their 11?
I think if they can get Camargo and Trafford back, then you'd certainly like to see them put straight in there.
You know. Those were the two that you saw that, and you're like, Camargo has to play, right?
Right, right, and a bit more creativity in that midfield definitely wouldn't go amiss, I think, just in terms of picking the lock and finding the final pass and breaking down defenses and making the most of the domination as they had against York 9.
Yeah, and if you're Valor FC, you're looking at this week as another tough kind of doubleheader. I think on Saturday they're hosting HFX Wanderers, and it's going to be another interesting test for them. Marty, ultimately, do you see Valor picking up, you know, 6 points, 4 points? How many points do you see?
Well, I mean, hosting the Wanderers at 3 p.m. Eastern time, 2:30 their time on One Soccer. I'm interested to see what IGF looks like again. I mean, you know, if you can get in it, like, surely with a crowd like that, you know, it should bump them in the right way. And Wanderers, I mean, yes, they've got that win. Yes, Pereira is back, but who knows if he's going to travel again? Who knows if, you know, they're going to have all their pieces there. I really hope that Valor gets a result there. Looking ahead to Sunday, Forge hosting Cavalry in the afternoon, and then FC Edmonton hosting Pacific, their first match at Clark Stadium in the CPL. Let's stick with Forge quickly. You know, this, I think, is going to be a massive game for them if they want to do anything in the spring season.
Yeah, this could be the decider. I think this could be one of those matches where the 3 points on offer could genuinely decide who gets the CPL championship berth.
Yeah, I think both of their matches this week, you know, Pacific are a team that could easily be up there, as we said, if Marcus Haber can start, you know, making the most of those chances. And to me, Forge have got to be going into this week, two home games, even against difficult teams, they've got to be looking at 6 points. You know, I don't think there's room for error for them now. They need to bounce back from these first two games in a strong way.
And quickly, another home opener with Clark Stadium, Edmonton.
Is this our last home opener?
We've still got York to go.
We still got York.
So FC Edmonton hosting Pacific. I love Clark Stadium. I think it's such an interesting ground. Pacific coming into Edmonton, though, I mean, you know, they had some injury problems with the last match, you know, a couple missing pieces. Hopefully they're back up to full force for that one.
Yeah, Henrik Storostek was missing in that second match. He was the Volkswagen Premier Performer for the first ever kind of iteration. We'll have that updated every week. You can check that out on campl.ca. It's an interesting development, though. I think his first game, he got something like 96 points, and it's, you know, a credit to how much of an influence he was in that first match. He scored a goal. He was a standout defender. He put up the sort of defensive showing you expect from an experienced German defender, and I'm interested to see if he'll return. At the very least, they'll have Lucas McNaughton back. He's off from his red card suspension, so he'll be back in the mix for Pacific, and they'll be taking on an FC Edmonton team that hopefully will you know, put on more of the front foot sort of performance that we're expecting.
So from a super Saturday with three matches, now we're looking ahead to five matches this week. Guys, it's happening. It's all happening.
Going down.
Busy times.
All right, that's it for this edition of Center Circle Live. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at CamPL Podcast. More great stuff coming up on CamPL.ca this week. And of course, One Soccer will have all of the previous mentioned matches, including the Wednesday night doubleheader. As we mentioned, they're starting off with Forge hosting Pacific FC. All right. Catch you next week.